Well, this is graduation time for our students, and how proud we are of each one of you. Congratulations for reaching this milestone. I want to encourage you today from a wonderful passage of Scripture for graduates, verses 1 through 10 of Proverbs chapter 3. Now, textbooks can give you students knowledge and degrees, but being successful in life takes much more than just knowing facts. You must know a person, and he is the Lord Jesus. And in knowing him, you acquire wisdom. And what is wisdom? It is the ability to discern what is true and right and lasting. In other words, you live your life for what has true and eternal value. Now, the verses before us can be divided into five groups of two verses each. And each of these verse groups has an exhortation followed by the results or the blessings of obeying that admonition. And at their heart, these exhortations encourage you to be wise through your union and communion with Christ. There is no other way to find true wisdom. Solomon's son must have been graduating from the University of Jerusalem because he writes five exhortations to his son in these verses. And the first is the obedience exhortation, which encourages you to walk lawfully. Verse 1 says, "My son, forget not my law." Now, Solomon, the author of these verses, didn't mean my law in the sense of his own personal degrees, but rather God's law found in God's word that he himself had internalized and made personal. And so the keeping of God's word is more than a mental perfunctory exercise. It is your heart, the true you, the passionate you, obeying God's commandments. And that is why Solomon states, "But let thy heart keep my commandments." In other words, you do right, you obey, not because you have to, but because you want to. The real you is fully on board. You have the heart of Christ who said, "I delight to do thy will, O God. Your law is in my heart." And the benefit and the blessing of such obedience, keeping God's law, keeping it with one's heart, is stated in verse 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." The point here is your life will be marked by quality, peace-filled living. Now, you can live a long life and not know the peace of God, but that's not living. That's surviving. But internal obedience to God's law leads to a full and rich life that enjoys satisfying fellowship with Christ, the giver of this abundant life. This is not a wasted life. Obedience to God's word allows you to live out the life that comes from God. And then the second exhortation is the others' exhortation, which challenges you to serve others. Verse 3 says, "Let not mercy," and what is mercy? It's kindness, it's loving kindness, it's steadfast love, it's loyal love, and truth. And what is truth? It's faithfulness. "Forsake thee." And this faithful kindness will not be forsaken when, as verse 3 tells us, "It is a binding about your neck, and it's a writing on your heart," which means your life is characterized by loving faithfulness to God and to others. You serve Christ as you serve others. Your life is others-oriented. And the blessed result of sharing mercy and truth, verse 4, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding," or success, "in the sight of God and man." One author writes, "The blessed, obedient life is magnetic. It enjoys the favor of God. It honors and attracts the favor of man." In other words, you have a good name, you have a loving name, you have a reputation of competence and effectiveness and prudence. And this divine living was seen in Christ, who, as Luke 2 verse 52 tells us, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Graduates, faithful kindness, it's favored by God. It's favored by man. Now third, we find the trusting exhortation, which encourages your faith in God. The Hebrew word translated trust in verse 5 means to lie helpless down, face down. It pictures a servant waiting in readiness for his master's command. You give God, not self or others, all your conscious trust. You do not consciously reject or defy God with unbelief. You place unwavering confidence in God's well-proven wisdom, faithfulness, and love, which means you do not lean on your own understanding or depend on the broken crutches of your own wisdom. Rather, you live in dependence on God as you acknowledge Him in every way. You invite Him into your everyday life and decision-making. You ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know the way through the wilderness of life, and I simply, in trusting you, follow you, which means you practice His presence in the regular and even the mundane things of daily life as you seek His counsel and His guidance. And I add, how much better jobs like working in the yard, doing homework, working in the kitchen, cleaning out the garage would go if you invited God into those parts of your life. By the way, you would surely do it with a good spirit, a good attitude. You know, there are lots of things in life that are just routine. They are not exciting, but they need to be done. I mean, they just need to be done. That's just how life is. What are you going to do? You need to do it. Since you need to do it, why don't you do it with a right spirit? Why don't you do it in a right way? As you trust Him in how you even glorify Him through what you do. If you're going to mow the grass, mow it all. Mow it all. And if you're going to mow your grass, why don't you edge it? I mean, make it look good. But what a blessing when whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. You trust Him for the strength to do what you do, and you do it well for His glory. You trust in the Lord. And the blessing of this act of faith as you try to glorify, as you seek to glorify God in all that you do, is He shall direct, He will direct your paths. When you acknowledge God in all your ways, He will direct you into the paths of real life and enable you to live out God's will, which is good, acceptable, and it's perfect. You will live a life that continually progresses toward God's goals instead of wandering aimlessly through life. Your path will be straight. I love what one author says, the wise will govern themselves by what the Lord Himself declares and will not set their own finite and often mistaken understanding against His. Young people, adults, you know what life is? It's just taking one step at a time. Lord, what would you have me to do today? And as we are faithful, as we're trusting Him to direct our steps and to give us the grace and the strength to accomplish what we need to do today, sooner or later you reach the goals that God has set for you. But you're faithful in your trusting of the Lord today. Today is a step toward the ultimate goal that God has for your life. Be faithful today. Do the little things well today. Do them for the Lord. Recall the result of the Israelites leaning on their own understanding and their journey to the promised land. They wandered aimlessly in the wilderness for 40 years, and many never entered the promised land. Think about their lives. because of their disbelief, because they failed to trust the Lord. Their lives were consumed in the wilderness. Only two above the age of 20, Caleb and Joshua, saw the promised land. And why? Because they trusted in the Lord. They leaned not unto their own understanding. In all their ways, they acknowledged him. God has a promised land for you, but you've got to trust him today. You got to lean on him today. Trusting the Lord is blessed with direction. Then fourth is the humble exhortation, which challenges you to live meekly. Verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes, which really is an explanation of what it means to lean not into one's own understanding. When you do lean on your own understanding, it is as if you regard your wisdom, your shrewdness, is better and greater than God's. And isn't that what we're seeing in the culture all around us? Those wise in their own eyes are redefining marriage and even who should have the right to live. Friends, we need to be humble before our Creator and thank Him for creating a biological male and a biological female. I mean, that's God's plan. And if God made you a man, be a man. If God made you a woman, thank God you're a woman. But when you begin to try to transition from one to the other, you are rejecting God's order. You are rejecting God's creation plan. And I can promise you there's no blessing when you do not follow God's plan, God's way, God's purpose, God's design. Who are we to think that we know better? And let me say, God will humble those who in pride reject his order, God's design, his creation plan. Now, when you are not puffed up with your own prideful wisdom, but are trusting in the Lord, you will fear the Lord and you will depart from evil, which means you will come to know him better and grow in your reverence and awe of God. Please understand the fear of God draws you more and more to God and away from evil, especially the evil of pride. And then the result of such dependent living on God, verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel or body and marrow to thy bones. The simple truth here is spiritual and physical health are related. Probably like you, I take some vitamins, take them most every day. I took some this morning, and I can tell, vitamins help. But there's something much better than vitamins, and that is a life that is surrendered to and is trusting in God. Humble living experiences divine health, his benefits. Such wise living brings you a sense of peace and strength, which is physically good for you, that you would not otherwise have. When authorized, spiritual refreshment has enormous benefits for the whole being. Humbleness leads to health. And then the fifth exhortation is the giving exhortation, which challenges you to be generous with your resources. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. And this practical trust uses one's wealth then for righteous purposes, just and equitable purposes. It pays appropriate homage to the Lord by giving generously and sacrificially, by giving the first fruits of your increase to the giver of every good and perfect gift. Now, according to the principle of the sacrifice of the first fruits, you give God the first and the best, which is what the Old Testament Jews brought to the Lord. You can see that in Exodus 13 and Leviticus 23. And in this way, you acknowledge God's authority and goodness. When you give to him, when you're faithful to give back to him, you say, God, I'm acknowledging you. You are the giver of what I'm even giving back to you. Then in return, the blessing God promises, verse 10, full barns and vats filled with freshly squeezed wine, which proves that God, the Master, and distributor of unlimited resources, knows how to prosper and take care of those who honor him with the resources he gives them. Generosity to the Lord results in generosity from the Lord. And such giving to the Lord does not foster financial ruin, it promotes physical prosperity. You can never outgive the Lord. Young people, if you want to be financially stable in life, work hard, follow God's will, and be generous. Have a generous heart. But again, you give not to get, but to honor the giver. And in turn, he honors you. Generous giving is generously blessed. I told you this story. There was a farmer in Iowa, and he became quite successful. And someone said to him, "Well, sir, why, as a farmer, are you so successful? Why have you been blessed financially the way you are?" And he said, "Well, I have a shovel, and I take what God gives to me, and I shovel it back to him. And he takes a bigger shovel and shovels his blessings back to me." Don't be tight with the Lord. You know, sometimes you look at your portfolio and you look at the price of gas and you think, you know, am I even going to make it? You will make it when you honor the giver of every good and perfect gift. As I said at the outset, to be successful in life requires that you know Jesus, who personifies wisdom. And to know him requires that you trust him. Faith bridges the gap between you and Christ. That you rely on his integrity, his strength, his ability, his wisdom. And when you do, you are enabled to walk obediently, to walk humbly, and to walk wisely with your God, which means you will value his word and glorify him in all you do. When the world says, "This is the way, walk ye in it," and God's word says, "This is the way that you should live your life," you will follow God and his word, his will, his way. And what peace-filled, favored, directed, healthy, and fruit-filled life you will then have. I've said it so often, you have one shot at life. I'll be 69 in about a month. You know, I've had one shot at living between 68 and 69. I'll never have this time again in my life. It's going to be forever gone. Might I be able to say, "Lord, I've lived the 365 days between 68 and 69 following you, obeying you, living out your will for me." And then, you know, I could look back on this year and say, "God, to you be the glory. I fulfilled your plan for my life." Friends, that's living. And the beauty of that is, even though that year you'll never have again down here, but you'll reap the rewards of your faithfulness in living for the Lord up there, forever you'll experience the blessings of living your life for the Lord. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials, yes, now they seem so big, but then they'll seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So let me bravely, graduates, bravely run this race till you see Christ. God wants to save you from the tyranny of self, being wise in your own eyes. So let God and his word be your guide, be your guide. And then when you walk in obedience to God, you have his peace. And I think of what the book of James tells us about God's peace. The wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that comes from the Lord, the wisdom that is yours when you follow the Lord Jesus, is first pure, then peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good works. It's without partiality and it's without hypocrisy. Wow. The wisdom that is from God.